This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
I'm Janice Dean.
I'm David Asman.
I'm Dana Perino, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Friday, March 4th, 2022. I'm Eben Brown. Ukrainians are fighting with bullets and with words, and they're demanding to be heard and sided with.
He's a strong man, right? You need to stand up to a strong man. Weakness and appeasement is just not going to work for a guy like Putin. And again, this is so clear to anyone I speak to in Ukraine, from kids to adults.
This is the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Just a few weeks ago, Ukraine had a rather normal relationship with the rest of the world. Business got done, people took vacations, cultures exchanged, students got an education. In some ways, this all combined, and American businesses helped Ukrainian students make contacts in the West and learn to speak English. All from the comfort of home, using the marvels of technology.
I founded a nonprofit called Engine 2 years ago, and the idea is to connect Ukrainian youth to their English-speaking peers for free online language practice and cross-cultural exchange.
Katerina Manoff is one of those cultural entrepreneurs. She's been matching Ukrainian students with Americans via video chats, but her work has changed in recent weeks. Things are much different with Katerina's business. It's led to her and her students in Ukraine desperately trying to stay in contact with one another, all while hoping to make Ukraine's case for help to the West.
So we worked with about 6,000 Ukrainian students, and we matched them up one-on-one with a volunteer here in the U.S. or another English-speaking country. And they meet on Zoom for an hour every week, and they chat, and, you know, their English gets better. They get to meet someone in another part of the world. So it was really a great program. It was growing a lot. And, of course, on the 24th, very suddenly, everything had to stop.
Tell me about how that stoppage came. I mean, obviously we knew tensions were building, but there was a definitive time where your business sort of ceased doing what it's been doing and you decided to do something else. So tell me about that decision-making process for yourself. How did that come about? What were the discussions you had either with people or in, you know, with yourself? Tell me how that went.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, we'd been hearing about the rising tensions with Russia for a couple months, and the team was very committed to carrying on for as long as we could, as normally as we could. We had several discussions about it, and we came to the conclusion that our work is directly fighting Putin, right? He's trying to isolate Ukraine from the West, and we are connecting Ukraine to the West. And we felt it was our duty to keep it going. Unfortunately, when the war broke out, and I remember all night, or it was night our time, I was getting panicked calls and messages from my team, which is based mainly in Ukraine, and people couldn't keep working, right? They had to focus on their safety. For some of them, it means hiding in bomb shelters. For others, it means moving to a different town in Ukraine. Once people were safe, they wanted to concentrate on the war effort and helping however they could. So it was just not possible for the team to keep working. And at the same time, most of our students were also moving, were in and out of bomb shelters, and really weren't in a place to keep practicing English. It was no longer a priority. Survival became the priority. So we did pretty suddenly have to announce that we were pausing operations, let all of our students and volunteers know. And now it's a waiting game. I'm hopeful that we can restart sometime soon, but every day it seems more and more unlikely.
So in the interim, you've taken this task upon yourself to be this conduit of your clients, your students, and Western media, Western contacts, to help them tell what they know and what their stories are as of now. What gave you that idea specifically, and what sort of jump-started that, and what exactly are your plans going forward? How long will you continue to do this?
I think my immediate thought when the war started and we had to stop our normal operations was, how can I support my students? And we have chats where many of our students are participating, usually, you know, just talking about daily lives, practicing English. And obviously, you know, right now it's all about the war. So we're connected to our students in those chats. And I was participating in the conversations, listening to them and really trying to understand, what did they want, right? What were they thinking? How could I from here be most helpful? And the very clear message was that they wanted America to know what was going on. They felt frustrated that they were seeing their cities get destroyed around them, seeing kids dying, and Americans didn't seem to care. And there was this very strong desire to tell their stories. So I thought, this is the way that I could be most useful right now to my students, right? I can't personally stop the war. I can't convince, you know, I can't convince any government to do that. But the least I can do is to give them this opportunity that they're asking for, to tell their stories and maybe contribute in a small way to ending this war.
One of Katerina's students is Mariana. We're not revealing her last name. We'll say only that she's in Western Ukraine. As much as people are speaking up and internationally about their homeland being under invasion, many Ukrainians are still trying to preserve identifying details out of fear for their safety or for that of family. Mariana's story is frightful, but it is sadly no longer unique. She tells us about her life these past weeks, what she's been doing along with her family, and how she would rather stay and not flee.
So I'm 18 years old and I'm a student. I'm studying international relations. And, you know, like, we study all about politics, international law and organizations, etc. But I couldn't have imagined that Putin would decide to attack the whole of my country. We have had a hybrid war since 2014, when Russian aggression began. And then Russia occupied our Crimea, Donetsk, Lugansk. They already have killed a lot of our innocent people and soldiers. But I hope to the last that everything will be fine and we can live in peace. But Putin doesn't give up and tries to destroy my country in general. I hate that man so much, you know? I live in Western Ukraine, and I live in the region where we currently have only a lot of air alarms. Thank God, only air alarms. But it's stressful even to hear them. My younger sister is horribly afraid of the air alarms. She's 12 right now, and she perfectly understands what's going on. I always try to calm her when hear sirens, but it's hard, because we understand that it's real war where our innocent people are suffering and dying. And today, it's really hard. My grandmother is a child of World War II, and she's 77 right now. And she's also scared so much. And today, she asked me, what's the day today? And, you know, like, I forget.
You've been listening to Katerina from the United States and Mariana from Ukraine. They're both caught in a war on different sides of an ocean, and they don't want you to forget it. We'll have more with them on the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine, next. Mariana never thought hearing simple messages from family would be such a rare or difficult event. It's been like that ever since the first Russian strike.
I woke up at 6 a.m. when Russia started to attack all our regions and destroy our military bases. My uncle from Mykolaiv Eastern Ukraine called us and said that they heard gunfire and explosions. They couldn't run to us from there, and they were really scared, especially their small children. My uncle has two children, like 2 years and 5 years. And then after this, my friend from Chernihiv, it's also Eastern Ukraine, wrote me and said the same. There are explosions and gunfire. I couldn't believe that they are in big danger. But after that, my mom called to my dad, who was at work in other city. It's located 2 hours from my town. And my dad said that there are strong explosions on airfield. My dad worked extremely near to the airfield, and I thank God that my dad is alive right now. My best friend, as I said earlier, she lives in Chernihiv region. And right now, Russian soldiers hit the oil depot, and it's bombing. And I can't believe that it's happening here. Sorry for my emotions, but that's true. And last Thursday, the war started. And when in other countries people celebrate that spring comes and live a normal life, starting working, we live in anxiety and stress. I want to live normal life again. We all want to be together, and I'm sure we will, because Ukraine is my country and Ukraine is my home. It's my home, and I want to live here. I don't want to be a part of Russia, because I'm not Russian, I'm Ukrainian. And especially right now, I just want to say that we need partners to help Ukraine, and I'm so proud that I'm Ukrainian.
And now, life is different daily for Mariana, for her friends, family, neighbors, and they do not wish to leave.
We watch and read all the news, and then my family cries. 2 days ago, I watched a video where a 6-year-old girl was injured and then she died. I cried. I cried so much because, just to be honest, during this war, I don't cry a lot, because I want to stay strong for my family and especially for my sister, because I understand that I'm her sister, and she is younger, and she needs my help. So we pray that this war will be ended as soon as possible, because we want to live in peace with Ukraine. It's my land and my country.
Her country, something for which Mariana feels is worth fighting. Back in the United States, Katerina says the same. And while she wants more action from NATO and the U.S., she also warns that a lack of response could be just as bad.
There's no going back. It started. It involves the U.S. now. It involves Europe now. Putin is already threatening just because we've provided weapons. He's saying that there's going to be retaliation to every country that's provided weapons. So it's not like he's, you know, letting the U.S. get off scot-free now because we haven't closed the airspace. And the more he is allowed to keep doing whatever he wants, the bolder he becomes, and the more he'll fight. He's a strong man, right? You need to stand up to a strong man. Weakness and appeasement is just not going to work for a guy like Putin. And again, this is so clear to anyone I speak to in Ukraine, from kids to adults, and it seems to be very unclear to most Americans. So right now, my big question is, like, how do we help Americans see what's going on? And one small way I'm doing this is giving my students a voice to tell their stories.
Katerina and Mariana, thank you both for being with us on the Fox News Rundown, War in Ukraine.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
Hey, Hey, it's Clay Travis. Join me for Outkick the Show as we dive deep into a mix of topics. New episodes available Monday to Friday on your favorite podcast platform and watch directly on outkick.com/watch.